Hashem Tmima. Hello everyone, and welcome to TTT, 10 Minute Torah Tmima. I'm your host, Chaim Fruchter. Every week, I bring you some insights from Baruch HaLevi Epstein, who lived in the late 19th and early 20th century, and author of the work that he called Torah Tmima, which could be translated as Complete Torah. He called it that because he collected Gemaras about the Pesukim in the Torah and placed them alongside the Pesukim so one could get an appreciation of the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral law, while learning the Torah Shebiksav, the written. This week, Parshas Metzora, we begin with the second Pasuk of the Parsha, Perek Yud Daled, Pasuk Beis, 14:2. The Pasuk starts, Zos Tiyeh Terasa Metzora. This will be the law of the Metzora, i.e., one who is deemed to have the disease of Tzara'as. This section actually deals with the purification of the process of the Metzora at the end of the disease. On this, the Torah Tmima brings the Gemara from Arachin, Daf Tesvav Amabes, 15b. Gemara says, Amar Rish Lakish says, Ma zichsiv zos tiyeh Torah HaMetzora. What is the implication of the phrase Torah HaMetzora, the law of the Metzora? He answers, Zos tiyeh Torah so shomotzi shem ra. That is, this is the law concerning one who is motzi shem ra, one who maligns or slanders other people. On this, the Torah Tmima first says that Rish Lakish is obviously making a play on words of Mitzora and Motzi Shem Ra, and is relating to what it says in the Gemara, that the affliction of Tzara'as will come for the sin of Lashon Hara and Rechilus, for speaking bad about other people. And he points out why the drasha was made specifically on this pasuk. He notes that this is the only place in the Torah that one who is afflicted with Tzara'as is called a Mitzora, which fits with the play on words, Motzi Shem Ra. But every other place in the Torah, someone who is afflicted with Tzara'as is called a Tzarua, not a Metzora. So, the Gemara chose to make the drasha on this pasuk specifically. I will add that the term Metzora is used in other places in Tanakh to refer to someone with the disease, just not in the Torah. It does appear in the Torah in similar form as an adjective. We now go to Perek Yud Daled Pasuk Daled, 14:4, still talking about the purification for one with Tzara'as. Pasuk says, V'tzifa ha-kohen v'lakach la-mitaher shtei tziporim chayos tahoros. And the kohen should take for the one being purified two ritually pure living birds. On this, Torah Tmima brings the Gemara from Yoma, Daf Samach Beis Oma Beis, 62b. Gemara says, Ma talmud lomar shtei? What is the Torah teaching us with the word shtei, two? That the two birds have to be equals. And the Gemara continues, Uminayin sha'afal pi she'ein shtehen shavos kasheros. How do we know that even if they're not equals, the process still works? Talmud lomar, tzipor, tzipuriba. It says that the word tzipor, twice, which appears twice, that is an inclusion, and that's how we know that even if they're not equals, the process would still work. On this, Torah Tmima first clarifies that equal in this context means equal in height, appearance, and value, as is stated in the Mishnah and Nagayim. He points out that the same is true regarding the two goats in the Yom Kippur ceremony, that they have to be equals. And he explains that the reason the Gemara concludes that they need to be equals is, since the minimum plural is two, stating the word shtei, which means two, is superfluous, therefore is used to indicate that the two should be as one, i.e. identical. He also says, one might ask on the requirement of their being equal from the Yerushalmi Sanhedrin, Peidalat Halacha Yud, 84:10, where it says that no two creations of anything are exactly alike, and he says it just means that to the human eye, they appear to be basically the same. Then, he then directs attention to the second part of the Gemara, where it says that if they were not equals, and the ceremony was done anyway, it still works. The Gemara had said that this comes from the fact that the word tzipor, bird, was used twice. Torah Tmima tells us that this is referring to the next two psukim, the first of which says, V'shachat esat tzipor ho'echas, and he shechs the first bird, and the next pasuk details what happens to the other bird, and it also refers to it as a tzipor. Since the text did not just say the first and then the second, but used the word tzipor each time, bird, with each phrase, that reflects their uniqueness, meaning they are not necessarily identical. Hence, We have one source indicating the need for the birds to be identical, and then another saying not necessarily. So we say that ideally they should be identical, but it would not invalidate the service if they weren't. Finally, we move to Perek Yod, Yod Dalet Pasuk Lama Beis, 1432. The Torah had just finished detailing the details of the process of the sacrifices for someone who was poor and couldn't afford the requisite animals for the purification process of Tzaras. The Pasuk says, Zos Tzaras asher bo nega Tzaras asher lo sasig yado b'taharaso. This is the law for someone who has Tzaras but doesn't have the means for the purification process. On this, Torah Tmima brings the Gemara from Krisos, Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, 28a. Gemara says, Toras, the word Toras, law of, l'rabos mitzora ani, shehevi korban ashir, shiyatza. The word Toras, the law of, in this pasuk, comes to include a poor mitzora that brings the korban of a rich person, that he would be yotze, he would fulfill his obligation. Then the Gemara says, yachol afilu ashir shehevi korban ani yotza. I might think that even a rich person who brought the sacrifice of a poor person would also be yotzei, also fulfill his obligation. Talmud Lomar, Zos. Gemara says, no. The Pasuk has the word Zos, this, to tell you that that's not the case. If a rich person brings the poor person's sacrifice, it doesn't work. On this, Torah Tmima quotes Rashi's explanation of this Gemara, that the word Toras, the law of, in this Pasuk, implies one law for anyone involved in the purification process. And in parentheses, the Torah Tmima informs us that he explained in his commentary at the beginning of the Parsha how this is implied. And the word this implies some kind of limitation. And since we have one inclusion and one limitation, it makes sense to include that a poor person can be yotze with a rich person's sacrifice and to exclude a rich person being yotze with a poor person's sacrifice. That's Rashi. Then Torah says, he doesn't know why the Gemara and Rashi would need that derivation in that way. It should be able to exclude the rich person from the poor person's sacrifice simply by noting that that the beginning of this section in the Torah explicitly states, if the person is poor, this is the process, which certainly implies that this process is reserved only for a poor person. Then, Torah Tmima answers that, true, the process is spelled out here for a poor person, but we would still need to specifically learn that if the rich person went ahead and did it anyway, like a poor person, that it would be not work at all. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it and found it meaningful. I look forward to getting together with you on the next episode of TTT.